So we're going to be looking at a topic called moving forward, but we're going to be taking the stories from Israel, that was from the children of Israel who were in captivity in Egypt. So I'll just give us the background story a bit, then we'll carry on. So this is 2026, and on the crossover service, we spoke quite a lot about the fact that God wants us to move forward. He wants us to move forward. But oftentimes we are stuck where we are. We look around and we're like, man, you know, not another New Year's resolution. I said I would do this last year, but I just wasn't able to do all the things that I wanted to do. Not because I didn't want to do them, but I was just stuck. I was just stuck and I just couldn't do anything about it. So we're looking at the story of the children of Israel as well this morning, and that's where we'll take our text from. So the video that we just saw now was Moses going about his business, and God appears to him. And God tells him that, look, I have heard the cry of the children of Israel. They've been going through a lot of suffering. Now I am sending you to go and bring them out from Egypt. So that was what that story was about, or that video was about. So I guess the question this morning is this. As we're going into 2026, as we are in 2026 already, I don't know what your aspirations are. I don't even know if you have any aspirations that you want to achieve. You might be like, well, there's no need having any real aspirations because nothing happens anyway. Last year, I said I was going to do this. That didn't happen. The year before, I said I was going to do this. Nothing happened. I prayed about this thing. Nothing happened. So I'm just going to go with the flow. But I'm just going to ask you to pause that go with the flow thought as we go through today's, as we start the topic today. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to read a bit through the book of Exodus. I'm going to read the story of the children of Israel, the video we saw just a minute ago, to give us a background of how your priorities determine if you're going to move forward or not. And if your priorities determine if you're going to move forward or not, that means you need to watch what your priorities are. But I'll make the point shortly. So please follow with me. I'm going to read through the book of Exodus. I'm going to catalog through the story of the children of Israel. I will read, it'll be quite a lengthy text. But I'll make the point as I go along. Then after that, I will bring it back home and reflect on how that applies to us in our current context as well. So, Exodus chapter 20, verses 23 and 24. I'm going to read. You can just follow me. You can just listen as I go along. Or you can open your Bibles to it as well. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 to 24. It says, During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help was because of their slavery, and he went out to God. God heard their groanings, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. So what happened was this. You had the Israelites, there was a famine, and a famine means like there was no, I'm just saying this for the benefit of people who are not quite sure what famine is. There was no food. In fact, they were facing starvation where they were. And they moved to Egypt with Joseph. Joseph was an Israelite as well. And to cut the long story short, things turned around and the Israelites settled in Egypt. And they were there for about 400 or so years. And as they were living their lives, things got progressively worse and bad. And these guys were pushed to the point where every day was a misery to them. It was a really, really difficult and hard life for them. So at that point, they began to pray. And it's like, God, are we going to be in this situation forever? Isn't this thing going to change? So they were going through a really, really tough time. And it seemed as if there was no solution, there was no end to what they were facing. Well, the same thing might be for us as well, where, you know, in certain areas of our lives, we're good, but in some areas that really make a difference to us, it appears that it's just a bit tricky there. It's just a bit tricky. Someone was telling me that, you know, God, you know, I thank God for this, I thank God for that. God has done this in my life. I'm grateful that I'm saved, but there's just this one thing in my life that every time I wake up in the morning, it overshadows every other thing. And it seems like, man, my life is just on a standstill. I can't do anything about it. So for these guys as well, their lives was in a standstill. Standstill. So they came to church. Sundays, Fridays sometimes. Enjoyed the praise and worship. But when they went home and they rolled up in bed, they would be like, man, this thing that just doesn't go away, this challenge that I have. But God said something quite, there was something we saw here that I think is really quite interesting. He said God was concerned about them. God was concerned. You know, sometimes it's easy to think that, and you know, I felt that like that somewhat sometimes. Like you're praying, and your expectations are like, yes, this is the year of increase, 2026. We're just gonna go for it. Then the first week passes, the second week passes, first month, second month, I'm like, oh man, what year is it again? So God was concerned about them. God is concerned about you and I. You might be like, man, maybe God's concerned about, you know, that little baby down the, you know. Me, I'm not quite sure God has any time for me. Just me in this Bristol, me in London. Maybe God doesn't really have time for me. But it says, contrary to that, God was concerned. So what that means is this. Everything that pertains to your life, whether little or big, however you want to classify anything that's going on with you, the truth of the matter is this. For anything that bothers you, God's concerned about it. Because he says it there. He says it there. So God just didn't stop there and say, okay, I'm concerned and let's just leave it at that. No. He goes on and he sends Moses to help these guys out. Then, next one, Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. The video that we saw there, Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. Then the Lord said to Moses, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering. So he begins to tell Moses this. So I have come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians, to bring them out of the land of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites. Verse 9, and now the cry of the Israelites has reached me. I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So you go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people out, the people of Israel, out of Egypt. So God is concerned. He now comes to a man, Moses, and says, Moses, I'm sending you to Egypt to bring my people out. I've heard their concerns. And I'm not just going to fold my hands and watch things just. Now, when I was much younger, and I used to watch this film, The Ten Commandments. This one's like slightly more animated version. The one I used to watch then, it was like this. If you don't know this video thing, it was called. There was no YouTube or anything then, so it was Betamax. You had this big, massive video things. You put in a big video recorder. On special days, you're not allowed to play it on any other. You put that film in there, and you pressed the big button and it played on the black and white TV. If you're like, Pastor B, what's that, what you're talking about? Then I know that you're under 30, or is it 40? So that was all I saw. But if we put it in the real life context, can you imagine God, like, I'm in my office, I come out, I'm here, then I see like a burning bush or an angel here, and I'm like, what is happening here? And God says, Pastor Benson, now I am sending you to America to go and release the people that are in Guantanamo Bay, although they've closed that. Go now, Pastor Benson. And, you know, my first question would be like, I'll take my glasses up, I'll wipe my eyes, and I'm like, am I dreaming? Then I'll message my wife, I say, babe, is this real? Because in my brain, I'll be like, okay, you want me to go to America to release those guys in Guantanamo, you know, that prison. The American troops are there, the Marines are there, the president is there. I'm nobody. How can I even, you know? And he says, no, you go. And I go there, and I go to an American president. And I say, I'm not going to mention any American president. And he said, and I get myself into the White House. And I'm like, now the Lord says, Mr. President, let the people in, I mentioned the name of the prison, let them go so that they can come back to Bristol with me and worship at our church, because that's what God says. All the social media influencers, there, they'll just do it and it'll go viral. Naughty head pastor goes to White House to make a false claim. He'd be like, this guy is a joker, man. You know, then they'll do mime. Is it memes or mimes? That thing, pastor goes to White House. Is it mimes or memes? What do they call them? Memes. Spell it. Is it M-I-M-E? M-I-M-E? M-E. M-E-M-E. How's that mime? Isn't that Mimi? I'm just joking. So it was ridiculous. Looking at it, you know, in that context, it was ridiculous. So Moses was like, God, you know, send somebody else. Send Sister Ammo. Or send Mr. Haika. I ain't going there. I'm not going there. Send somebody else. So we see the dilemma that Moses was facing here. But that's not where the story, the real point of the story. Moses now sums up courage and he goes and he gets there. And he goes to Pharaoh. Before he goes to Pharaoh, he assembles all the people, all the elders of Israel, thousands of them. And he gives them God's message. He says, God has sent me to bring you out of Egypt. And they were excited. They were excited. If you look at Exodus chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. I won't read that. Moses goes there and he gives them the good news message. Everybody's excited. They're like, oh man, God is good all the time. God is great. So God is really concerned about me. And he gives them the message. And they're excited. You know, it's the same way I'm giving you this message today. We had the crossover service, 31st. If you are not here, don't worry. We danced on your behalf. We celebrated on your behalf. We ate all the... I'll stop there. So don't think that in this church is just food that we eat. I was super excited. I was like, man, 2026 is the year of increase. And we spoke a number of things that this year God has, like every other year, God is concerned about you. God wants you to increase. God wants you to overcome the things that are, the challenges that are within, you know, your experience. God wants to walk through you, or walk with you. Basically, God has you covered. And we enter 2026 now. We're excited. It's like the third or fourth day. Sorry, I've lost count. And I'm saying all these things to us. The same way Moses said these things to the elders. And they were excited. They were excited. I'm super excited. I was telling... Sorry, I'm just speaking in third person. I'm excited about 2026. I was like, man, my list. So I'm excited. And you're like, Pastor, why are you excited? Well, don't worry about that. But Moses brought a message of hope to them. That look, even though you've been stuck in this particular area of your life, even though it appears that this area has been, it just seems unmovable. It just seems like, well, it's just something you have to live with. It's just life. God was telling them, yes, that's how things are at the moment. However, I want to work with you so that you can still, in the context of where you are, be fulfilled in your life. Be fulfilled in what God has called you to do. Be fulfilled in the things that you want to accomplish as well. Be fulfilled in just the everyday things of life. To live a life that is filled with joy. And he brought this good news message to them. Like I'm bringing it to you this morning. And they were excited. Then Moses goes to Pharaoh. Everybody's excited. Moses now goes to the person who is causing the problem. You know? Like, man, I've got a message from God for you. And Exodus chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 and verses 4 to 9. So Moses, it says afterwards, Exodus chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh responds and he says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I don't know the Lord and I will not let Israel go." Finish. That's my response, he said. So what does this mean in our context? What that means in our context is that you go back home, I go back home, and I'm excited. And I begin to pray again. I'm like, God, you said this 2026, this is going to be overcome. And I'm excited, and I'm doing what I'm going to do. And I'm just, you know, and after all the prayers that I prayed, in quote, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days, 1 week, and my expectations are looking at me in the face. And it's like, yeah, Pastor B, pray all you want. Go to church all you want. Pray. Do whatever you want to do. We're here. The challenge is still here. It stares you in the face. It says, I'm here. You know how to pray, right? Oh, you can pray in that your church. Sing and dance all you want. I am still here. So Pharaoh was telling them, like, man, don't even think about it. I am here. I'm not going anywhere, apparently, Pharaoh said. Now, we can deal with that, right? But Pharaoh does something that is the crux of the conversation I'm having with us this morning. And he does it all the time. And even if Pharaoh is not the one doing it in our lives, life is doing it to you. So what does Pharaoh do? Does Pharaoh send out an army straight away to attack the Israelites? No. What does Pharaoh do? Does Pharaoh send them threats? No. Pharaoh doesn't do any of that. The topic we're looking at today is moving forward, priorities. So Pharaoh did something to them, which is worth noting. And I'll read Exodus chapter 5, verses 4 to 9. It says, the king of Egypt, that's Pharaoh, said, Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work. Then Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are numerous and you are stopping them from working. Verse 6, Exodus chapter 5. That same day, Pharaoh gave the order to the slave drivers and to the overseers in charge of the people. You are no longer going to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They're lazy. That's why they're crying out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. It says, make the work harder for the people so that they work, they keep working and will not pay attention to these lies that Moses is telling them. So what Pharaoh did was this. We're looking at priorities. He rearranged their priorities so that a priority in their life that was not meant to take the whole of their lives became the whole focus of their lives. I'll come back to that in a minute. Just keep that word priority at the back of your mind. So Pharaoh now tells Moses that, look, you want the people, you're preaching this message. By the way, I don't know who your God is. Just get out of my sight. But what I'm going to do is, I'm going to increase the workload of the children of Israel. I'm going to make their lives harder. How? I'm going to drive them into work. To work, 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 work. By the time they finish working, they'll be so tired, they won't have time for all these things that you're talking about. And that's exactly what Pharaoh did. Moses now goes back to the children of Israel. I mean, last Sunday they were excited. He told them, God has got your back. God is going to make 2026 a year you'll never forget. And they said, amen. That's my American voice. Amen. They were excited. Moses now goes back a week later, thinking that, man, they'll be like gearing up. And when he gets there, Exodus chapter 6, verses 8 to 9. And he reminds them of God's message, saying, it says, God said, I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hands to give to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Next one. Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. Because of their discouragement and harsh labor. So what does priorities have to do with this? I'll make 3 points for us to think about. What Pharaoh did was this. He looked at their lives. He looked at the things that matter most to most of us, the things that we need on a daily basis, our work, our sustenance, how do we live, how do we pay our rent, how do we do this. The things that we think about, the things that matter to us. And he will put pressure on those areas so that you will forget every other thing. I'm telling you, you forget every other thing. The only thing you'll be thinking about when I say you, I'm talking about in third person, is that thing. So he rearranges your priorities and makes that thing the focus. In this context, that thing could be your job or how do you live? How do you live? I was just thinking yesterday that, man, you have to pay for everything nowadays. Every single thing. not that I'm complaining, you can't get anything free. If they say free, they're going to get it back. You have to pay for food. You're like, Pastor Benson, yeah, obviously. But you have to pay for every single thing you have. The only thing we don't pay for at the moment is air. But you have to pay for every single thing. I was like, man, can I get something for free? No, you can't. You pay every dime. So, priorities. Pharaoh, in this context, reorganized their work priorities, their career priorities, and it overtook every other thing. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that, look, if you and I are going to move forward in 2026, if we're going to see God's promises come to pass, God is faithful. Whatever God says endures. It might not happen today or tomorrow, but it endures. But if those things are meant to, if those things are going to become a reality in our lives, then we have to watch what our priorities are. We have to really pay attention to our priorities so that our priorities, though valid, don't get mixed up to the point where we put God aside. 3 points and we will pray this morning. So, the first thing is this. We see the Israelites, they're excited. They prayed and God heard them. The same way you pray and God hears. Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 3 says, "Come, call to me and I will answer and I will tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." Isaiah 43 verse 13. It says, "For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." So God promised to help them. God promises to help you as well in 2026. Then Pharaoh comes in and reorganizes their priorities. And their whole life is taken over by, how am I going to survive? The economy is going up and down. The economy, I mean, what's going to happen to my job? How am I going to be able to afford this? How about my kids? How about my relatives? And Jesus said something here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, which is the second point. It says, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them." So the second point is this. Pharaoh reorganized their priorities and he made them worry so much about the future that was the only thing that consumed them. They didn't have time for God anymore. Like, there's this saying that people say, God helps those who help themselves. Well, maybe. So am I saying we should just put our feet up and say, well, God will provide and not make a move? No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is this. If you and I are not careful, the worry of what is going to happen to me next week, next year, I have this thing I have to deal with, this thing I have to apply for, it can consume us to the point where worry takes over. And that worry pushes away everything that God has spoken to us. And we come to the place where we no longer prioritize God because we're worried about the future. We're worried about, is this thing going to happen? Isn't this thing going to happen? What's going to happen to me tomorrow? What's going to happen to my kids? And we're overwhelmed with all these things every single hour of the day. To the point where the Bible says Moses came back to the children of Israel and was like, man, we've heard it before. We've heard it before, Pastor B. What's today? These are the kind of sermons that we hear at the beginning of the year, Pastor B. We thank you that you've made the effort. We thank you that you woke up and you came to church this morning. You just didn't stay at home eating all that thing that they said I shouldn't eat in our house. Drinking Coca-Cola and in the middle of the night, you get caught a few times. You still turned up. But spare us. Let's just enjoy the music, enjoy the tea and biscuits after the service, and let's go home. Don't raise our hopes. Moses, just let us be. Let's go about our normal business. You know? But God doesn't want us to be like that. He doesn't want to give us false hope, and he doesn't do that. But he wants us to be expectant. If you look at the children of Israel, as they go through life or through the season, eventually God brings them to the promises that he says he will bring them to. So they said, Moses, we've heard this before. Yeah, 2026, let's see how it goes. Check me out next month. Let me see how I'm doing. Feel my temperature then. No, God doesn't want to feel your temperature then. He wants you to be excited about him, but you have to check what your priorities are on purpose. Or those things might overwhelm you, like they overwhelm these guys. So God is telling us this morning through his word that, look, 2026 is a brand new year. Yes, you've heard this kind of message before. Yes, you've spoken about, you know, you prayed about this before. Yes, you've done that before. But he wants you to be excited still, because he wants you and I to be expectant. But in being expectant, he wants us also to prioritize him. He wants to be the number one in our lives, irrespective of what's going on around us. Matthew 22:37 says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. So how do we move forward? How do we begin to move forward? Simple, in a way. Prioritizing God intentionally. And all the things that cause us to worry. God says, look, put those things aside. I know about them, and I will take care of those things. But you guys get the point. And the point is this. God wants us to prioritize him. God wants us to put aside, not forget about, to put aside those things that worry us. And let him handle those things for us as we prioritize him. Amen. Our Father and our King, we thank you for your kindness. Thank you because you are concerned for us and about us. You haven't just left us to our devices to just go through life on our own. So thank you for being there for us. Lord, even as you have spoken to us concerning 2026 being a year of increase, a year where you've asked us to forget the past and look towards the future, as you've told us in Isaiah chapter 54, I'm asking for your people this morning that you strengthen us. Help us to prioritize you. Help us to love you with all our minds, with all our soul, and with all our minds. In Jesus' name. I'm going to call Sister Kemi forward to take a song for us.